Hello, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today of the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman. I thank you again for honoring your Lord and getting somewhere, if not here, then somewhere else on purpose to where you can sit down and study God's Word and find out what it says. And that's the most important thing that we can do in these days that we live in right now, is to get God's Word in our minds and in our hearts and follow our Lord's instruction and learn His doctrine and what He says the difference is in right and wrong and what is and what is not. Well, today we're going to go back into our study of life. We've been studying that for quite a few lessons now, and we're not in no hurry to get done with it. We just want to find out what is life. Well, today is going to be an interesting day because I don't think we're going to have quite as long, if you call it long, as long a recording today, because we're going to go over some definitions. We began last week. We finished the last section. Some things that the Lord had said about life, remember? And we went over that. And we began last week talking about, or said we were going to start, life, a final look, thoughts, and truths. Well, what this part right here is going to consist of is, like it says, some final look at life in the Scriptures. And we could spend a long, long, long time pulling the word life and some examples and some parables and what the Lord said and talking about all the different kinds of life as we have. We could keep on and keep on talking about life. One thing that we are finding out is that that is indeed a book that talks about life, isn't it? We're going to talk about take a final look at life and have some final thoughts about it. And see some final truths about it. Now, it's probably going to take a few more lessons because the things that we're going to talk about. First thing today is I'm going to give you some definitions. You say definitions? Yeah. The Bible uses some words. Well, not all these words that I'm fixing to give you, but I want to share some definitions with you. And if you got a piece of paper and a pencil, I want you to write these definitions down. Or if not, that's fine too. We'll just read them and hear them. But I kind of want you to have it there to where whenever we go over these next parts, for instance, life, truths of breath, the breath that you breathe, breathing, life, truths of breath. We're going to go over that. And we're going to go over life, truths of spirit. We're going to go over what the Bible has to say about life, having to do with truths of what the Bible talks about in spirit. And then also, we're going to look at life, truths of being. Truths of being, you know, like human being. Truths of being. And then we'll close out after those. So see, we got about three more different sections. I'd say we got two, three more programs to look at if that many. But either way, we don't care. We enjoy studying God's Word and hearing what it has to say. But if you got a piece of paper, get it there. We're going to look over some definitions. And I think what we'll do is go ahead and stop right there. But when we get into these other parts, life, truth of breath, and truth of spirit, and truths of being, you're going to want these definitions because you're going to look. We can look back and see what the definitions of these things are and how the Bible uses. And you're going to be interested in this part. Well, you've been interested in all of it, but particularly this part right here is going to be a blessing. And when we get to the end, it's definitely not going to be the end of the study of life, but we're indeed going to be have some things clarified about what the Lord thinks and what the Bible has to say about life. I believe God the Holy Ghost takes these studies like this, and we could have one subject and be studying life, and He teaches us all in our own measure. He teaches you what you need, and he teaches me what I need, and we all learn together, but that's the special ability of God the Holy Ghost, is that the Lord takes, he takes and teaches me things that are specific for my life and the needs that I have and the growth that I need, and you also. But indeed, we all learn together, and it's just tremendous. So let's begin. Life, a final look, thoughts and truths. Well, what do you think? Have we figured out what life is yet? Have we figured out what life is yet? Considering all the things that we've learned already, what would you say life is? We're getting pretty close, and I bet all of us are answering. I bet if we took a little piece of paper and all of us wrote it down, we'd be getting pretty close to one another about what life is. Have we learned what it is yet? We studied a lot of truths out of God's Word. We've seen overwhelming evidence that life is, and that the Scriptures are not ashamed to speak of life. We saw that it was a major subject to the Lord. He died for the reason of life. You know, like the leaves blowing and being moved in the wind reveal wind is present, does not explain what wind is. The wind is invisible. It doesn't have a smell of itself, no color, doesn't have a shape or anything other than the evidence that it reveals itself by. I think we're getting pretty close to life being like the wind as far as being able to define it. You can't define the wind. You can define the evidence of the wind, but you can't define it. You can't define it specifically like you can something that you can see. When you see the tree, you see the wind blowing across them trees and everything, and you see them trees moving. Somebody asks you and says, "What's that moving them trees over there?" You say, "That's the wind." "Well, how do you know it's the wind?" Are you stupid? I mean, did you lose half your marbles? The elevator don't go all the way to the top? Everybody knows that's a wind. "Well, how do you know it's a wind?" "Well, I see it." "No, you don't. You don't see the wind. The wind's invisible. You see the evidence of the wind. You just believe that's the wind by faith." Oh, now we're getting somewhere. You know, it's looking like, very much so, that the answer that we're seeking, what is life, is hidden by the Lord. There's many things that the Lord has placed a limit upon when it comes to knowledge. And man is just going to have to accept that he's not going to find out anything until God says so. Man's looking for all the answers and these crazy answers and spending everybody's money going out into space and finding this and finding that. And they're not looking for the answers to the things that helps humanity. They're looking for the answers to the things that they can say they're equal to God with. If man can control something out in space, he can say that he's getting closer to being a God like the God. But it ain't ever going to happen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God, the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. All they got to do is take that scripture right there and mount it right there in the Senate and in Congress and in the House of Representatives and up in the White House and read it every day, and that'll give them guidance about what's important and what ain't. Let me read it again. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He said, no man's going to figure it out, and you're not going to figure out any part of it from the beginning to the end. And he said he put it in every man's heart that you can't figure it out. So stop trying. God said you can't figure it out, and the things that you can't figure out, the Lord said quit asking questions about and move on. Matter of fact, the Lord told us to avoid knowledge that you have to keep asking question after question after question after question. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? That's time to cut that question off altogether. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the Bible says, consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should not find nothing after him. In other words, we ask the questions, well, why is things turning out like it is? How come I had prosperity and joy and now I'm having so much trouble? That's a vain question according to the Lord. The Lord said you're not going to figure them kind of things out. He set one thing over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise. But it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Now that's what Solomon said. All you smart people think you're going to try to figure something out that nobody else knows and you're going to be Mr. Somebody, humana, 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 humana. Professor DDRXQRPD behind your name. I ain't got nothing against your knowledge and your education. There was one fella said, I wish I had it. I can't remember. He said something about, I'll find it out and share it with you. It was a pretty popular fella. Probably not popular enough for me to remember. But, you know, you read after some people and you find out some quotes that people said and the Holy Ghost takes it and he makes it such a truth right then, you know. And that was one of the things that happened to me. I just need to remember it. But it was something about I make it a point not to let my education get in the way of knowledge. He said, I make it a point not to let knowledge get in the way of my education. Or schooling to get in the way of my education. Something like that. Anyway, I blew that one all to pieces. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 in verse 16 and 17 says this. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Now, either Solomon's a liar, and all the knowledge that the Lord and the wisdom that the Lord gave him, he lied about. Or either there's a bunch of idiots running around all over the world trying to find something out that they're never, ever going to find out. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says we're taking a final look at life. And when we're talking about life, these verses are important. And what Solomon said is important about what the Lord says about finding things out. It's looking like very much so that the answer that we're looking for, what is life, is hidden by the Lord. And there's many things that the Lord has hidden about knowledge that man's just not going to find out. We've seen that in the scriptures right there. Now, haven't we got enough multi-billion-dollar rocks from the moon and enough pictures from outer space I mean, if you want to see outer space and you want to see way, way, way out there, get saved. Because one day Jesus is going to come back and get us all and take us right through every bit of that. Man's out there looking for something, and you know what? If man did find something out there, he wouldn't know what to do with it. You know, we got all these billion-dollar rocks that it costs for rocket fuel and rocket this and paying paychecks and all this for all of NASA to send this rocket up there to get a rock and bring it back. And you say, well, you ought not you ought not be talking about them rocks like they got rocks in their head, rocks and pictures. You know, apparently not. We don't have enough of them. The doctrinal things we have studied thus far in our Bibles are true. And we can and should use them for what we believe about life. Because that is what the Scripture says. But nailing down the answer to what is life is something man has been running to and fro about from the beginning of time and has come up with nothing. Because God has set the boundaries. All of the so-called scholars, I mean, you talk to a dopehead, and he can tell you just as much about life as a stinking scholar with 20 years of college and education and this and that and the other and blah, 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 blah. Science professors and education and this and that and the other and all them. Set them two side by side and both of them can tell you different evidences of life, but they cannot tell you what life is, nor take you to the end of it. Neither one of them. But knowing what evidence of life is, no man's higher than any other man or smarter than any other man. If you're breathing, you know something about life. You know some evidence about life. But the Lord has set limits and He's set boundaries where people ain't going to find things out. You say, well, what are we studying life for? Because the Bible talks about life. But everything that the Lord has told us about life so far is He's given us His permission to know these things. But there's some things about life that's just not going to get answered. And I'm thinking that one of them is our question. What is life? But we're going to get close when we get down toward the end of it. Watch what it winds up. What is life? Is something man's been, he's been running to and fro trying to figure it out. But he ain't got it yet. And he ain't going to get it because the Bible says he's not. All the so-called scholars and scientists are chasing vanity. The reason man wants control of life, there could be a few answers to that. How about one? He doesn't want God to have it. That sounds like that could be true because of man's nature. He wants to take control of life away from God. Or at least, that's what the devil did. Trying to take the authority away from the Lord so he could control things. Another one, say the second one. He doesn't want God telling him what to do. That's a good reason for wanting to control life and find out how to control life. He don't want God telling him what to do. He wants to have his wicked ways, and he wants his wickedness so he can eat that too. Have his slop and his trash can juice and eat it too. And another one could be he wants to control it so he can control it himself. He can control it. Get it? You know, like money. The Lord said that money answers everything in the Scriptures, with exception of death and hell and eternity and things like that. But as far as on the earth, Money answers everything. And if man can get control and figure out what life is, man, do you understand what people would pay for life? The Bible says all a man hath he'll give for his life. You get it? That's man's nature. Man ever gets control of life, it's going to cost you to stay alive. Already does. Look at your insurance rates. Look who gets the insurance and who don't get the insurance. Look who gets to live five more years because they can afford all the stuff that it takes to do that. You know, all of it's for the good of mankind, of course. Well, let's look at a few interesting areas of what our Bibles have to say about life. We're going to just look and see what the Bible says as it says it and see where the Lord leads us. Let's look at some definitions. You got your paper? Excuse me. Now, this is going to seem kind of crazy tucked right in here, but I thought it was pretty good that this could be tucked right in at the time, at this time, right in between these lessons that we're doing, because you're going to see what I'm talking about having to do with these definitions whenever we get into the future part of our lessons having to do with life. So look at some. I want you to write something down here first. At the top of your page there, or wherever you want to put it, like a heading or something like that, write this. Write, life is, and then put you a little line or a dash out there. And then in all capital letters, write God. And then put you a dash out to the right of that. And then write, is, life, again. God is, or life is, God is life. You say, where do you get that from? Well, it kind of reminded me of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14 is one of my favorite verses from what God said to Moses one time. And it was just an amazing thing. I gained so much respect for the Lord because I still can't figure it out. And it's awesome to me how he answered Moses. Remember when Moses was talking about the Lord told him that I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and this is what I say and that's what I say. And Moses looked back and said, well, when I go over there, who am I going to tell him sent me? God's answer to Moses just blows my mind. I mean, only God himself could come up with this kind of answer. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Excuse me, it wasn't Pharaoh, but he did say to Pharaoh, but he said to the children of Israel that. I am that I am. You say, life is God is life. We're studying about life, but the Lord's answer about himself to identify himself is incredible. He said, I am that I am. Now, you can read that 500 different ways and come up with the same God. He said, tell them I am has sent me. The Lord said, I am that. I am that I. I am that I am. You can't mess that up no way. I mean, that whole thing right there describes the Lord, and only he has the wisdom to come up with something like that. Doesn't that just blow you away the way that... I mean, nobody could say that. Nobody. Man wouldn't be able to come up with that in a minute. Try to define that. I am that I am. There is no past, present, or future in that at all. That shows the Lord's eternity. It shows everything about him. Oh, don't you respect him for that? But that's where I got that. Life is God is life. Talking about life, I am that I am. Talking about who he is and his person. And talking about life, life is God is life. Now let's move on. When we get into these next pieces of study that we're going to get into, you're going to see having to do with the spirit and having to do with being and the others that having to do with breath. You're going to see when the Bible mentions breath and it mentions spirit and it mentions being, this is going to come into play in these definitions. So if you got your paper, let's go over these definitions and we'll just go over these and write them down and you'll have them. And that way when we go into the next sections, you'll have them there to understand or just reference to figure out what the meaning of what God is talking about. All right. The first word we're going to define is the word that. T-H-A-T. The definition, now some of this stuff's higher than my head, but you probably know exactly what it's talking about. But I got it. I got it. All right. That means it introduces a subordinate clause. In other words, in parentheses, it is clear that you're up to the job. That. It also means pointing out something. Like, for instance, that house over there. And then it also means the other one from this. For instance, this one is green. That one is red. The word that. And we've already seen that the Lord uses that word in his own reference to himself. I am that. So we're going to have that definition. The next definition that we're going to use is I. Capital I. What does I mean? Well, the definition I got says, used of a single unit or thing. And then it says, not two or more. And then it says, single. And then it says, unity. And then it says, one. And there's the definition for I. And we notice that the Lord used that to represent describing his person twice. I am that I am. It's going to get good. The next word that we're going to define and get a definition of is am. What's the definition of am? Well, I got having the quality of being. Oh, we're getting into it now because one of our studies down there is going to be life truths of being. Have the quality of being. Next, have an existence. Comma, be extant. Then it says, have life, comma, be alive. So what we're talking about is life. So am has something to do with being alive. And then it also says, to remain unmolested, undisturbed, or uninterrupted. And then the last part is simply just being. And the Lord used that to describe his person. I am that I am. The next word we're going to define is being. There's a lot of people, that's an everyday word. people use the word being more than they recognize, and it's in society more than they recognize, and I bet they don't even understand that that's a Bible word. Or that it has a lot of Bible truth in it. Being, what's the definition? The state or fact of being objectively real. And then it says a living thing that has, parentheses, or can develop the ability to act or function independently. And then it says, have the quality of being. Next, it says, have an existence, be extant. Then it says, have life, be alive. There's a lot of talking about life in these definitions. Then it says, to remain unmolested, undisturbed, or uninterrupted. And I like this one, the last one. It says, be priced at. You know, Jesus became a being, a human being. Interesting that it says to be priced at. The next word we're going to define is human. Human. There's a lot of folks in society today that can't define that word because they don't know what a human is. Or they give you some weird reasons. Do you know that there is a, I don't want to name them, but one of these things on the internet, like a social thing that everybody comes together, and it's a big one. And do you know when you sign to, I'm not a member of it, but when you sign to be a member of it so you can talk to everybody in the world on this social thing, that they ask you, what is your gender? And do you know how many, you know they got 70-something options that you can choose from? 70 or more. Now, I got this from a news report from somebody that done a survey of it and found 50 and counting and said they even thought that they hadn't got them all, but that it was over 70. Over 70 things that you can define your, oh, what's your age? Well, 50-something. What's your gender? What's your sex? Over 50. And you ought to hear some of them. When we study the letter Q, we study that. But talking about human, the definition is having human form or attributes as opposed to those of animals or divine beings. Any little girl or boy knows that. Next part of the definition is any living or extinct member of the family. Now, I'm gonna butcher this all up. I'm going to spell it. Hominidae. How you say that? Hominidae? Whatever. Anyway, any living or extinct member of the family Hominidae characterized by superior intelligence, articulate speech, and erect carriage. Stand upright. And then the last part of the definition is relating to a person. And the very last just simply says man. That's the definition of human. The next definition we're going to put down is the word is, I-S. The definition for is that I looked up says, have the quality of being. Have an existence. Be extant. See how all these are kind of intertwining? It says, have life. Be alive. Another part of it is to remain unmolested, undisturbed, or uninterrupted. Another part is be priced at. And the last part is personify. That's the definition of is. Now, these are going to be interesting when we get into our next part of our studies. So just be patient. Don't roll your eyes at me yet. The next word that we're going to define is extant. E-X-T-A-N-T. We've heard that said in a lot of the other definitions that we've already been over. It says, still in existence. Not extinct. Not extinct, destroyed, or lost. Existent. Existing. Living. Remember what we're talking about? We're studying life. Okay, that's the definition for extant. The next definition we're going to study or look at and define is existent. And out beside that, you could write having existence, being, or actuality. Having existence, being, or actuality. Another part of it is being or occurring in fact or actuality. Another part is having verified existence. Now, here's part of it that's going to get rid of all the hippies. Not illusory. We're not really here, man. We just think we're here. Another part of it is presently existing in fact and not merely potential or possible. And the last parts are actual and then real. Existence. And then our last definition will be the word real. Now remember, we're talking about life. And what we've defined so far talking about life is that I am being, human, is, extant, existent, and then now real. Real means being or occurring in fact or actuality. Having verified existence. Not illusory. Having substance or capable of being treated as fact. not imaginary. Kind of like boys being girls and girls being boys. Coinciding with reality. And then a word, very tangible, literal, genuine, actual. Those are the definitions of real. So there's the definitions we're going to use on our next part of our studies. Life, truths of breath. What does the Bible say about breath or breathing or where it comes from or what it does or what it causes? What does it have? What does breath have to do with life according to the scriptures? Then we're going to talk about life, truths of spirit. When you talk about spirit, and we're not talking about God the Holy Ghost, we're talking about the spirit of man. What does the spirit of man in the scriptures have to do with life? What does the scripture say? And then we're going to talk about being. What does the Bible say about being and the truths of being having to do with life and the description the Bible gives us of life? Well, we're going to find out. Okay? So let me give you these few scriptures that we had today. Are you ready? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 and 23 and 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And verse 16 and 17. And then we got one other. Let's read it together. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You see, Paul talked about mysteries. He talked about the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery of the body, Christ's body. He talked about mysteries, and he talked about things that were hidden that are now revealed. That's what the word revelation means. It was something that was hidden that is now revealed. And he talks about things eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. You can't even imagine it. You can't even imagine it in your imagination. You can't even bring it up or construct it in your mind or in your heart. The things God hath prepared for them that love him. I love him, don't you? I'm glad that God lets us love him. What would we do without him? We would destroy ourselves. That's what we would do, just like the world's doing right now. In the world, without God, what a miserable way to live. I don't ever want to live like that again, do you? Let's live in fellowship with our Lord and love him and obey him and serve him. We don't have to. We want to. We love God because he loved us, but not only that. After you love him for a while, you really know why you love him. Because he's real. And he's there. And he's faithful. And he... There's no words to describe. I am that I am. That's tremendous. Well, amen. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening. It's been kind of a strange lesson, but profitable. You got some definitions. You should go back over those and see if you can just get them in the back of your mind so when we go over these other recordings, it'll bring it all together for us. So the Lord bless you. Thank you for studying and honoring the Lord. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.